Our God and Father, we thank you. Lord, you're an awesome God, and you are so good to us. We thank you that you have saved us from sin and death with the precious blood of Jesus. You have washed away our sins. And God, we thank you that Jesus bore our sin in his body on the cross, that he drank the cup of wrath in our place and for us. And we thank you that we now have the hope of eternal life. Our Lord, we thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. And that, Lord, even now we are experiencing the power of the coming age with the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. We thank you for that. We thank you for the joy that you put in our heart by the Spirit. We thank you that no one or nothing can ever take that away. And Lord, we want to please you in every respect, and so we ask that you would strengthen our faith, that you would cause us to be hungry to be a people of virtue. That Lord, we would long for your peace and your joy and your love. That we would long to be patient and kind and gentle. We thank you for all that you're doing in us, and we ask that you would increase it. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're back in our study of sanctification called In His Image. And we have been talking about the doctrine of vivification, or that is, putting on Christ, or putting on the new man, or being a people to the praise of his glory by living in virtue. And so we've been discussing what are the virtues that are revealed in the New Testament as not only the character and nature of God, but those virtues that God is mingling within our own character so that we become like him. What is this virtue? How does the Bible describe it? And so with that, we have launched off into a series of the virtues. And having spent some time looking at the crowning and chief virtue, which is love, and how we saw that love was the main thing, and it's always been the main thing. And so we then moved on to talk about how we can't really possess these virtues in any meaningful and powerful way unless we have the disposition of humility, unless we have to some degree killed our pride and humbled ourselves before the Lord. And we spent the last 2 weeks saying, if you will, that humility is the wellspring of all the virtues, that in the soil of humility all the virtues grow very well. And to the degree that we possess that humility in large degree, we will then also have everything we need to live in the virtues. And so we ended last week by saying that we should train our heart to be humble. And then there on page 91, I gave you a list of practical things that you could do to humble yourself. You remember that we talked about James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, where James tells us exactly how to humble ourselves. There in that text, he's focused on telling us that God gives grace to the humble, and then telling us practically how it is that we humble ourselves before the Lord, in the words of James, because then he will exalt you. God will lift us up and exalt us when we humble ourselves by giving us grace, which looks like power to transform us so that we become like him. Amen? This is the thing that God is doing in our Christian life. This is the great purpose of God in salvation, to make us like him. This is the destination of the predestination, that we would be conformed to the image of the Son, that we would eventually possess in ourselves the very glory of Jesus. the very qualities of his own character that outshine from his person. Amen? So much so that it is said that in the days to come, us saints will shine like the sun, like the stars, forever and ever. Amen? Okay, so bottom of page 91, understanding the virtues, his image in us. Now, as we have had a good look at the heart disposition of humility that is needed to cultivate virtue in any meaningful sense, and also an intense look at the crowning and chief virtue of love, let us now consider several other virtues that are a part of the nature of God and also the fruit of the Holy Spirit powerfully abiding in us. Without a doubt, one section of Scripture that shines a bright light on these is that passage on the fruit of the Spirit. This is not an exhaustive list of virtues, but indeed an important one. And so then Paul writes in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's three triads there. It's a wonderful section of Scripture. But it lists these virtues, and it says these are the fruit of the Spirit. They're the product of the Spirit. They're what's hanging on a Spirit-filled tree. These are the things that happen when the Spirit abides. And when the Spirit abides powerfully, let me tell you, that fruit is muy primo. It's grande, right? It's big, it's juicy, it's delectable. Amen? And so, let us cry out to God that the Spirit might dwell in us in power. I mean, what happens when we come into your home? Do we experience this virtue? When people come into your life, is this the fruit they're eating? Does it look like this? Well, I'm longing for that. I hope you are too. I want my home to be a home filled with love and peace. I want my home to be a joyful place. Amen? Where people are patient. Where people are kind to one another. In that place, there's goodness. A love for righteousness and truth and justice. Amen. I want my home to be a home where there's gentleness and people aren't out of hand, but instead they're exercising self-control, that good fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Thank God for this little verse that's so jam-packed full of power. Amen. Thank God that these things are, man, just put right up front before our eyes. Here it is, right here. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And may it be a plumb line for us to measure our Christian life. And where we find ourselves lacking, now we have a new goal. Now we have something to live for. Now we have something to strive for. Amen? Here we see the fruit of the Spirit listed as a complex of virtues, described as the virtuous product of the Holy Spirit abiding in us. When one lives under the domination of the Holy Spirit, this produces the very character and nature of God in us, which emanates from our lives like a fruit tree or a vine. This virtue is the product of a Spirit-filled and dominated life. Are you filled up with the Spirit? You say, well, I'm not so sure. Well, let me say this to you then. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Be not drunk with wine, says Paul, Ephesians 5, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's a command. It's something you do. You be filled. You say, how do you do that? Well, you could start by getting your nose in the book, right? Humbling yourself, humbling your heart, having a submissive, teachable spirit when you come to the Word and say, Father, here I am, Lord. I'm a weak, sinful self. Change me, God. Help me, right? Come to God in faith and dependence, right? And then, when God is going to give you power, when you humble yourself and He's going to give you grace, then it's God-dependent effort. And what do you do with that God-dependent effort? Well, you kill sin and you put on Christ. Right? There's two ways that we cooperate with God in the sanctification process, right? Mortification and vivification. So yeah, that's how you be filled with the Spirit. Amen? You want to know how to be filled with the Spirit? James 4, 6 through 10. Right? You want to be filled with the Spirit? Ephesians 4 through 6. It's something you do. God help us. Amen? Spirit-filled. The virtue, this virtue is a product of a Spirit-filled and dominated life. Does the Holy Spirit dominate you? Does He rule in your heart? Does He rule your faculties? Think about it. Every morning when you wake up, think about it. I'm going to let Jesus rule today. He's King. He's my King. I'm not my King. Jesus is my King. He's given me the Holy Spirit to live in virtue. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Man, I can't wait to go out there in the world and just be a child of God. And everywhere I go, just spread the love. Amen? I hope that's what you're living for. I hope that's what you're striving for. After all, you're children of God through faith in Christ. Amen? So then, let's talk about joy. Joy. Joy true and lasting. Any survey of joy in the Bible reveals that there are several kinds of joy that we experience. Joy is also many times spoken of as happiness or contentment or exaltation or satisfaction or cheerfulness or even amusement. These surely are types of joy and also enjoyment that we experience. Think about the word enjoyment, right? It's like to put the joy in an experience, right? It's what happens when you do something you enjoy. It's an enjoyment, right? Or you experience a relationship with somebody that's enjoyable, like Jesus. Amen? Often times, these kinds of joy come as a result of our circumstances or in joy that we derive from people or places or things. Think about it. Oftentimes, our happiness, our contentment, our cheerfulness, or even our amusement, right? Hey, I love good jazz. It amuses me, right? And when I'm digging good jazz, well, right, I get a little amusement. Well, you take the jazz away, and what happens? Well, whatever joy was being derived from that flew the coop, right? So it is kind of natural joy that we experience in things in God's good world. Amen? You're all looking at me funny, like you don't dig the jazz or something. Does anybody dig the jazz? Oh, yeah. Hey, all right, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. You've just never had good jazz, fine jazz. Sorry, I'm not sorry. I'm actually having fun. Okay, But this kind of joy is a natural joy that comes from the natural environment, which can change as quickly as our circumstances. Often people seek to find lasting contentment from things in the natural world and wind up sorely disappointed because everything that is in the world is transient and passing away. Whatever joy or happiness or contentment that you get from worldly things, even though that may be a good joy and those may be good things, you just need to understand that those things are going to pass away. And if they don't pass away, guess what? You will. And with your aging and your dying also goes your ability to enjoy worldly things. Right? So you don't want to have your hope anchored in that now, do you? Because that stuff, the world and all that is in it, is passing away. Right? You need the right kind of goggles looking at your stuff. Amen? Yeah, it brings joy, but listen, our faith is not in our stuff. And our contentment is not in our stuff. Amen? There may come a day, Job, when all your stuff flies the coop. And then where will you be? I'll tell you where Job was. When Job heard all these things, he tore his robe and fell down and worshiped God and said, "Blessed be the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord." Right? Job had his hope in the right spot. So you have to understand that people seek to find their contentment in things in the natural world. And let me tell you something, it doesn't last. It isn't going to stick around. It's going to change with your circumstances. But there is another kind of joy that is spoken of in the Bible that is a supernatural and therefore true and lasting kind of joy. This is the joy of the Holy Spirit that is produced by God in response to his promises and the spiritual realities of his kingdom that we Christian believers experience every day. It is a product of the powerful work of the Spirit within us and as a result of living in God's kingdom. Now I'm talking about a supernatural joy. I'm talking about a joy that's not in the natural world. It's a joy that transcends the natural world. Yep, you can experience it right here in this world and in this body, but it is a joy that comes from the supernatural realm. Indeed, it comes from the ultra-natural realm, the very Spirit of God himself living within us. Right? Therefore, that kind of joy can be not only true, that is the real joy, it can be lasting. It can be full. The Bible says inexpressible and full of glory. Right? It's a kind of transcendent joy. It's a joy that we experience that is the power of the coming age. And we have it right here now. Amen? Think about that. It's really a profound thing. We experience it every day. One other thing about this joy, if you ain't a Christian, you don't have it. Because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something that happens as a result of regeneration and the Spirit of God living within us. The indwelling of the Spirit has a product, a fruit. It's this true and lasting eternal kind of joy. So unless you've been born again, you can't experience this joy. It doesn't mean you won't experience joy. There's all kinds of joys in God's natural world. And some of them are really fun, like jazz. Right? But that's not the kind of joy we're talking about here. That's not the kind of joy we're talking about here. This joy is alive, listen, in the midst of persecution and suffering. Why? Because it's true and lasting joy. It derives its power from something outside of the natural world. You see that? Hebrews 10:34 and 35. okay, so here's what we're saying. It's a product of the powerful work of the Spirit within us and as a result of living in God's kingdom. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. All right, there it is. How about Romans 14:16 through 17? It's right there, and right in the middle of page 92. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what is it? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The very kingdom itself is what? It's righteousness and it's peace. Peace with God in the heart. And it's joy. It's this supernatural glory that wells up from within inside you. That's the kingdom of God. Yeah. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And there again, it's the Spirit that's producing that joy. This kind of spiritual joy is normally a reasoned response to the knowledge and experience of the goodness of God in our everyday Christian life, and it is also a commandment from God that we actually rejoice at all of His goodness in our lives. Thank God for this, that God says to us, rejoice. Because oftentimes, our goods are getting plundered. And let me tell you, if your goods don't get plundered, your health will. Right? But God says in the midst of it, listen, rejoice. God says, rejoice. But we have much reason to rejoice. And here's what I'm saying here. It's a reasoned response. If you know and understand the realities of God and His kingdom, and you know that the powerful Spirit lives within you, you triumph over your circumstances. Listen, it's a reasonable faith. It's a reasonable thing to be joyful. Why? Well, come listen to this morning's sermon. If you weren't in the first service, go to the second. You'll find much reason to rejoice in the midst of whatever you're going through down here. And that's just a reasonable thing. Based on the promises of God to us. Amen? Not to mention the powerful work of the Spirit that's happening, apart from reason. Amen? Therefore, there is a host of good things in our lives that can elicit this kind of joy. And because the things of God's kingdom are true and lasting, our joy in those things can stand the test of even the most difficult circumstances of life. As a result, we can rejoice in God Himself and all of His goodness and blessing in our lives. And you know, even if you get stripped of everything you have, no one can strip you of God. No one can strip you of Christ. No one can strip you of the blessed Holy Spirit who lives inside your heart. And how many saints have given testimony of that while they're burning on the stake at the hands of some godless ruler? Amen? You tell them three Hebrew children, we're going to throw you in the fire. And they say, you can throw us in the fire if you want, but we're not going to bow down and worship your God. Because our God is the God. Amen? We can always rejoice in God. The psalmist writes, Psalm 43:4, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise thee, O God, my God. And you know, here's this thing about being a Christian. Man, you're just happy in Jesus. And how do you even explain that? You know, how do you explain the joy that you have just knowing God and knowing who God is? I mean, God's in control. He's everything. Listen, He's with you. Listen, before a word is even on your tongue, He knows it completely. He's there when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk along the way, everywhere you go. He's there. Constant companion, constant friend. Knows your thoughts, knows everything you're thinking. He has laid out your whole life before you. Before any day even happened in your life, every single one of them ordained for you was written in His book before one of them ever came to be. Psalm 139. Right? I mean, there's just this thing about knowing God. Man, when you know God, you have peace with God. It's like God is in you and you're just alive. And it's just joyful. And so you rejoice in God. You know, the scripture says these things. We exult in God. You know, like some kind of religious language. And, you know, that would just be some kind of religious language if us Christians didn't know what it means. Because we experience it. Right? I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. Yeah, it's just like, you know, getting to your quiet place of prayer. And you just like, you know, you get in there and then you just, hello, Lord. What a refuge you are, God. Yeah, the world is just, you know, waves and tribulation everywhere, you know. But man, when you're in prayer and you're with God, man, ain't nothing disturbing that thing. Amen. And you just rejoice in God. What can we say? Right? We do this. We rejoice in God. We rejoice in God Himself. Yeah. Isaiah 61:10. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. You know, this isn't just like some kind of like little meager thing. Right? This is hallelujah. We're cutting a rug, baby. Right? I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. Amen. My friend Robert Browning went to Cameroon, and he got to preach in that same church where Colette goes to church, where I got to preach when I was there. And I'm telling you, man, that thing, you have got to experience that. It is just this incredible thing. You go, I mean, when the service starts, the music starts, and the people are just happy. You know what they're happy about? They're happy that they were saved from sin and death and that they know Jesus Christ as their master and their king. And they are just, I'm telling you, they just this African joy. It's just. I was teasing Robert about it on email because he had sent an email saying that he was there and he preached and he said this Baptist thing that I thought was funny. You know, he tried to describe what the experience was like. So I was pulling his chain and then he wrote back and said, it's just a fruit of the Spirit, brother. Okay. All right. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Yeah, just like that, God has put righteousness on us. And I'm happy about it. Amen. We rejoice in Christ and his salvation. Now think about the things that we're saying about this supernatural joy. Where's it coming from? What is it that's creating it? What is it based in? What is the motive of it? Right? Well, the first thing is God. I'm just happy that I know God, man. Bless God. Amen? How about this? We rejoice in Christ and his salvation. For example, the scripture says we rejoice simply in knowing Christ, our Savior and our Lord, even in the midst of the difficult trials of life. Right? 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to all these things. None of these are natural things. These are all supernatural things. You see this? And what's Peter saying? He's saying, blessed be God. He's using that religious language again. Bless God and bless the Lord Jesus, right? And it's no wonder people think you're a religious freak. They just don't know what it means, bless God. And they sure aren't experiencing it, or they'd be saying, bless God too. Amen? You with me? Blessed be God. Why? Because he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection. right? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. Listen, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith. It's all supernatural stuff, right? Look at what Peter says. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, right? All that stuff. And then he says, in this you greatly rejoice. In what? In all that profound stuff about being born again and obtaining an inheritance, a hope that's reserved in heaven for me. Who's being protected by the power of God for salvation, which is ready to come, man. Amen? In this you greatly rejoice. I exult in my God. I exult in Christ my King, who died for me and saved me from sin, snatched me out of the fire of hell, gave me life everlasting. In this I greatly rejoice. Right? Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Even in the midst of the fire, what? I'm greatly rejoicing because of Christ and his salvation. You see, it's a supernatural joy. That the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's that salvation that's ready to be revealed, right? Jesus is coming back, right? And the great day will be upon us. Amen? He's talking about this. We're greatly rejoicing in these things, even in the midst of trials. And then verse 8. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, listen, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Amen? That's like what's going on in that African church. You go in there and they're just, man, they're just happy and singing and they're bouncing around and dancing. And I mean, just it's just, you know, and nobody's making a show. They're just happy. It's not like this American charismania thing. It's not like that. Not in that church, anyway. People aren't in the flesh, you know, making a big show. They're not a bunch of pompous words I won't use. Sorry. They're actually really, really happy about what God has done. Amen. And in that place, you know, it's a third world kind of a place. You know, they're happy when they got a bowl of rice. And we could use a dose of that. But, man, they're really happy when you save them from sin and death. And I suppose we could be really happy too, couldn't we? He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. You see, there's a sense in which our salvation is joy. And the experience of our salvation is what? An inexpressible joy that's full of glory. What in the world is that? Well, if I could express it, I would tell you. That's what kind of joy that is. You with me? How many of you know that inexpressible joy? Amen. Praise God. We rejoice in Christ and his salvation. We rejoice in the work of Christ. You know, even though we don't see Jesus, we love him, we're attached to him, we experience relationship with him, and joy just flows out of that. How about this? When we think about or read in the Bible what he's done for us, we have this satisfaction and this joy. Right? Think about it. Romans 5, 8 and following. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. Listen, we are the beloved. We're the loved ones. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Oh man, that ought to bring you some joy. I mean, you think about that very long, man, and you'd be saying, man, far better than I deserve. Far better than I deserve. And guess what? Man, I'm happy about it. Amen? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also what? We cut a rug. We exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I look for a way to explain that, exult. You know, what's happening? Well, you're hearing about the salvation and you're exulting. You know, you're just, your heart is just lifted up and you're praising God and you're filled with this rejoicing. It's a glorious thing. Amen? We rejoice, listen, in the work of Christ. We read about what he's done for us and we exult in God as a result. And those are supernatural things. Those are supernatural things. We hear things like Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, that is good news. Amen? That is good news. Let me give you some more good news. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Here's how it is with unbelievers. You sin, you die. But in Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law. You sin, you die. You're free from that. You're never going to die. You happy about that? Sheesh. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's supernatural. It's incredible. It's magnanimous. I want to get me a thesaurus and write down all those words. Superfluous is another one. Magnanimous, superfluous, incomprehensible, indescribable. It's all those. You know all those? I mean, how do you explain these kind of supernatural things that are ours in Christ? And the things that we are rejoicing over are just absolutely incredible, aren't they? Ineffable. That means words can't express it. All right? Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Man, I'm happy about that. Jesus bled for me. Amen? We rejoice when the good work of God happens in our lives, even when created by difficult trials and sufferings in this life, which ultimately produce joy in the life of the Christian. That one's kind of hard to hear, isn't it? Because nobody enjoys pain or suffering or difficulty or trial, right? But we know this to be true, don't we? So James tells us, consider it all joy, brothers, when you face various kinds of trials. Right? Think about it. What's he saying? He's saying, man, stuff is tough. It's hurting, man. What should you do? Rejoice. Right? Rejoice, he says. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, you see, consider it all joy, listen, knowing what? That this little fire is going to change you. And it's going to make you more like Christ. It's going to make you more virtuous. It's going to strengthen your supernatural faith. What should you do? Rejoice when you face trials. You know, it's the last thing you want to hear, you know? You come to church, telling you, your buddy, oh man, this happened and that happened, you know. And they're like, hey, consider it all joy. But that's exactly what needs to happen, right? I understand. There's a right way to say consider it all joy. Maybe with an arm around and or a big hug. And it's going to be okay, brother. It's going to be okay, sister. Jesus is with you in the fire. Amen? Look, I see in the fire a fourth one, like a son of the gods. Right? Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You see, we rejoice even when God's working in us and working on us with some of the tough stuff. Right? Imagine Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. You know what happened to them, right? Well, they got the snot beat out of them. They got beat up real bad. And then they took them down in that stinky dungeon, and they put them in the stocks. You know what the stocks are, right? It's where you put, you know, at Disneyland, you put your feet in the stock and you take your picture. Those are the stocks. Except those are stocks that stink. Them ain't good stocks. So what's going on down there? Well, Paul and Silas, man, they're rejoicing greatly in the Lord, aren't they? In fact, they rejoiced so much. What happened? Earthquake. Earthquake. That's what happened. Right? The whole place was shaken, it says, and all the prisoners got loose. Imagine how that happened. It's like 47 angels in there breaking off the chains everywhere while the place was rumbling, right? All the prisoners got loose, right? And the jailer saw it. He was about to die. Hey, man, you guys were singing down there. What must I do to be saved? Right? Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and all your household. Yeah, they beat up Paul and Silas. You know what they did about it? They considered it all joy, brothers, that we were considered worthy to be persecuted for the sake of the gospel. Amen? Let me tell you something. That's some supernatural joy right there. That's some supernatural joy. How about this one? Paul says to the Corinthians, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. Paul was happy after he gave them a spanking. And that spanking hurt so bad. Right? That they made a 180. You with me? You understand what Paul's happy about? Paul's rejoicing about this. He's rejoicing about what? That they were made sorrowful really bad. Because it was a godly sorrow. It was a real conviction from the Spirit. It was the kind that, you know, cleaned house and turned them around and got them back on the right path. Right? It was the kind that humbled them. It was the kind of correction that they really needed. They needed somebody to love them enough to tell them the truth. Right? And that made Paul happy. He was rejoicing over that. And this is something that we rejoice over. We rejoice when the good work of God happens. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing when what? When one sinner repents. Right? It's a glorious thing, this joy. And it comes from unseen supernatural realities. Spiritual joy is often the result of obedience to God. Think about that. Spiritual joy is often the result of obedience to God. Jesus says, John 15:10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, what's Jesus saying? Well, you remember how we were talking about love, that love to God looks like obedience to his commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? Here he kind of has it turned around the other way. He's saying, if you keep my commandments, then you abide in my love, right? My abiding in my love looks like doing what I say, because I really am Lord, Lord. Amen? But look what he says here. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." See, I've told you about love and obedience to my commandments so that you can be joyful. And how many of you know when you do what God wants, man, there's just a sense of inner contentment that's like, wow, this is the safe zone. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to obey God. It's a wonderful thing. It causes joy. Listen, Jesus said, that my joy may be in you. And listen, that your joy may be full, as opposed to joy that's not full. Are you with me? He's talking about the real thing. Not only the real thing, but the overflowing thing. Amen? You find people who have their life surrendered to the will of God, who follow Jesus and love him and love others, you will find a joyful person. Because it's just springing forth from the inside. Right? And you know what? They may be in some third world country serving people and washing feet of poor people in a dirty place that's not clean. They don't even have clean water to drink. I'll tell you what, them are happy people over there serving others. Because this is what happens when you do the will of God. It produces inner contentment and joy. It's a supernatural thing. We rejoice in the many promises that God has made to us, including the continual spiritual blessings of God's fatherly care for us. You know, we just muse over God's goodness. God is so good to us. Man, I lay down on my bed at night and I'm just thinking, God, you've been so good to me. Sometimes I'm tempted to be ashamed by how good God has been to me. You know what I'm saying? I got to kind of slap myself and say, no, that's not the right response. Sometimes I just feel like I don't deserve it. Well, that's the point. You don't deserve it. So just exult in God, would you? God's just good. So be happy. Thank God. Exalt in God. Tell him you're happy. Tell somebody else you're happy. You Christians, you sing too much about God. Psalm 119:162, "I rejoice at thy word as one who finds great spoil." Man, I opened up the Bible and there it was. It was like treasure. I was so happy, I couldn't believe it. I got to share it with somebody. Ever had one of them Christians driving you crazy? They always got a scripture and always trying to tell you what God said to them and showed them and how they're learning, and they're just driving you crazy. Yeah, they're experiencing all kinds of joy. They're finding all kinds of treasures in that word. Amen? "Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." You know, God just pours out blessings and we're just joyful about it. Doesn't that make you happy when you think about God and his blessing? And Paul says, blessed be, there he is again. It's not Peter, now it's Paul. "Blessed be God." "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." You know, we think about the blessing of God that we have, and we just can't help but praise him. Amen. We know exactly what the psalmist means when he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. It's an awesome thing. We rejoice no matter what we face because we know that God is in control of all things. And by his providence is working everything for our good. And when it's over, he brings us into glory. You know, look, if the mountains shake and the seas foam, right? Mountains be removed into the sea. Be still and know that I'm God. God's in control. God's in control. Amen? I'm happy about that. Aren't you? I can't tell you how many times I go to pray. I don't know if we're at Bible study or at home. And I just, God, I thank you that you are in heaven and you are on the throne. Amen? Man, this world is full of chaos. Amen? But God's in control. Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat. The other disciples are up there. Ah, we're going to die. Jesus is sacked out. Right? They go wake him up. Lord, don't you care? We're dying. Right? Jesus wakes up like this. Watch. Peace. Wakes up from his nap. Calms the storm. Man, that makes me happy. How about you? I know that Jesus. I know him. Him and I are like that. You know why? Because he wants to be my friend. That is the amazing thing about it. Wow. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Here's what that verse says. God's going to work it all for your good, and then in the end, he's going to take you into glory. You got something to be happy about. But not just happy. We're talking true divine contentment in the heart. Amen? Why? God's in control. It's all going to work out. Right? Amen. What an awesome promise from God. Amen. Our Father, we praise you for your goodness. We thank you for your rich promises. Lord, they have filled our souls, and we're filled with joy. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.